Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Crazy Old Man in His Own Attic, Episode 77. Wilbon, let's start today with Colin Kaepernick. We've talked around him for a week or so now. Let's start with him. Pro Football Talk says that Colin Kaepernick is in great shape and is more motivated than ever to play. So what should the NFL do about this?
Well, Tony, we don't know what the NFL should do until we know what the owners think. And by the way, the people who have been more silent than anybody in the world are the NFL owners. Haven't heard from one of them. Nobody says boo. We've heard from commissioners and players and executives. We've heard from people retired for 100 years. We've heard from Hall of Famers in every sport. We've heard from soccer teams in Germany and all over the world. And the people as a group, and I'm saying as a group because individually there are several owners that I know and like and respect and don't want to paint with a broad brush. But I'm going to paint with a broad brush for them as a group. They appear gutless. Okay? I'm not saying they're racist. I'm not saying they're bigots. I'm not saying any of that. But they look afraid. Until we know what they're going to do, what are they going to say? Where's Jerry Jones? Jerry Jones is the second biggest tweeter or commenter. Every Sunday he holds court in that Dallas Cowboy locker room. You and I have been there for that. He can run his mouth 100 miles an hour every week, and he hasn't said jack. Every NFL owner is under his desk. Where the hell are they? And until we know what one of them thinks, we don't know what to do. You can't force Colin Kaepernick on a team. So where are the richest, most powerful guys in the country in business in many ways as a group of the NFL owners? Where the hell are you guys?
All right, so I'm going to deal with the Colin Kaepernick part of this. I'm going to take the micro. You've got the macro. That's on your side of the street now. I'll just pass over for a second whether Colin Kaepernick is actually in great shape, okay? Because one thing he's not is in football shape. He hasn't taken a hit since 2016. He hasn't thrown a pass that counts since 2016. And I'll pass over for a second what his motivation is, because, you know, Mike, I've thought for a long time he doesn't really want to play football. He's content with the life he has now, and I don't know if he can play. And having said all of that, Roger Goodell, who is the commissioner of the NFL, if he means what he says, he has to go out and he has to find a team and he has to twist an arm and he has to get Colin Kaepernick on a team in the NFL this season, because Colin Kaepernick is an extraordinarily powerful symbol on your team and you don't want him against you. That is my position on Colin Kaepernick. Get him on a team.
To get him on a team, an owner has to cooperate. But we don't know what the owners think.
Yes, but it's
Goodell,
a commissioner's
Roger
job.
Mike has twisted arms already, and no one took him. He's twisted arms. He picked up
it
the phone.
It is a
and made
commissioner's
calls.
Job. The commissioner of any sport identifies what is in the best interest of his sport at that
yes.
time, and he yes. acts upon that, and he gets that done. So you got to find one owner. Roger, if he hasn't found one owner yet, he's got to find one owner. There are going to be cooperative people as far as this goes.
Well, let me get this straight. You're going to absolve all these dudes, these powerful titans of industry? You're going to absolve all of them? 32 of them?
No,
haven't said
no.
Every corporation in America, even the New York Knicks now, somebody has come out and said something, many worldwide. Where you at, NFL owners? You're going to just let these guys slide?
I'm not going to absolve any of the owners. I told you the other day, with a very pointed historical reference, that Jerry Jones is not going to stand in the schoolhouse door. I don't know what they're thinking. I agree with you on all of that. But what I'm saying is it is Roger Goodell's responsibility, the commissioner's responsibility to move his league forward. He's got to find one of them. He's got to do that. In terms of kneeling, of course Colin Kaepernick is going to kneel. The whole league is going to kneel. Okay,
yes.
This is a given.
Yes.
Colin
yes.
Kaepernick helps you now. You sign him. If he can play, he plays. The other players on the team will figure that out. But he's that so phrase, important now that
you're
I
right.
think you do.
I agree with you. That phrase, you sign him. Who signs him? An owner. Because an owner's got to get permission to the GM. But if they're all hiding under the desk because they don't want to come out and say something that they perceive is going to hurt part of their fan base, alienate part of their fan base, then, you know, Roger Goodell has at least identified himself. Roger Goodell has come out from behind, underneath the desk, and he said, here's what I believe.
Right.
It could
That's
be
right.
late, but it ain't too late. But these other dudes,
you know what would have been great? This would have been great. If Colin Kaepernick could have signed with New Orleans, and they took Jameis Winston. But imagine Drew Brees with his arm around Colin Kaepernick. Imagine that.
Been very nice and symbolic, Tony. Would be, if we ever get to that point, the major league players made yet another proposal to the owners, Tone. This time, it's for an 89-game season at the full prorated salary. This is a reduction from the last proposal from the players, which outlined a 114-game season. And it's an increase from the owner's recent proposal of a 76-game season at 75% of prorated salaries. Have your calculators out, boys and girls. Tone, does this flurry of recent proposals lead you to think that the two sides are actually closing the gap?
You know why I'm laughing. Because once again, this is the beginning of Groundhog Day. We go over the same, you know, Sonny and Cher are playing, Bill Murray bangs on the clock, and we start the movie over again. I'm a mouse running around and around and around in a wheel. Now, I will say this for the 45th time. If there are proposals and counterproposals, and they are different from the last set of proposals and counterproposals, that is a good sign. Because it means you get closer to the middle. There are two numbers in play here. One number is how many games, and one number is what percentage of the salary, your 100% salary, what percentage of that do you get to keep? And at some point, you can see the middle. I don't know if I can see the middle right now, but if you ask me, am I hopeful? To a degree, I am, yes, again.
You added
yes.
to a how degree. That's progress, Tone. I think I'll match you to a degree and say, yeah, to a degree, I'm a little more hopeful than I've been on this situation. Because if you keep throwing numbers out there, you just sort of automatically, as long as both sides keep throwing their own numbers out, even if they're only in their own best interest, you move a little bit and you find a middle. God help us with baseball and finding a middle. I literally had a calculator out going, okay, is 75% of 76 more than 100% in terms of absolute dollars of 60? I drove myself crazy. I wasn't a math major, neither were you. Neither is anybody out there, but I'm sure that the advanced analytics will help. I'm not sure. I'm hopeful to a degree that all of this will help these two sides find a middle.
Here's what I would do if I were stuck. I would go out and I would find a very learned economist, an independent guy, an economist, and I would say, let us know. Give us the numbers. Let us know what is out there. What did I write down? An honest, public, binding appraisal. Now, I don't think either side will do that, but that's what I would do. We move on.
Either.
We stay in baseball, but we move on.
Okay.
Major League Baseball has gone from a 40-round draft, even more sometimes, to a 5-round draft this year. Last year, there were 1,217 players drafted. This year, the number is 160. Wilbon, how do you think this will change baseball?
Okay, well, speaking of money and numbers and trying to figure all this out, once I read or was told that $20,000, once you get beyond those guys drafted, they're looking at $20,000. People who were looking at $250,000 in a draft slot a year ago are looking at, for this at least one time, $20,000. Tony, if this was somehow to continue, you would drive the best athletes out of baseball entirely. Because after you get past that 100 and whatever that number is, all these kids who are at that point elite athletes still, they've played football, they've played basketball, many of them, they've played soccer, they could say, you know what? Why would I try to live on $20,000 a year when I can go play one of these other sports? And I don't mean they would say that at 8 and 10 and 12 and 14 years old. But at some point when they start counting money, and thinking about buying their first car, and they're going to say, wait a minute, I can't even buy dinner. They're going, baseball is threatening to drive them out. This is stunning to me. It's part of the entire dismantling of the minor leagues as we have known them. This is scary to me, Tone. It is. And I know that's sort of a sidelight for a lot of people as they consider the draft tonight. But to me, that's a primary issue.
So we have an honest disagreement here. Everything I think about the draft is informed by the mythology of Mike Piazza. Mike Piazza, picked in the 62nd round as a favor to his father by Tommy Lasorda. Nobody wanted him. And where is he now? He is in Cooperstown. So to me, when you only draft 160 people, you let hundreds, if not thousands, of people say, I'm going to be Mike Piazza. I'll take the 20 grand, but I'll pick the team that I want to go to. I'll go through the rosters. I'll compare my position to what they've got. And 3 or 4 years from now, we're going to get another Mike Piazza. I'm very optimistic about this because teams now, by the way, if it's only $20,000 for undrafted people, you can pick up 10 like you're picking up asparagus spears for $200,000. And if a kid wants to play ball and picks the team he wants, maybe he wants to play close to home, or maybe he sees an opportunity for a second baseman at another roster. You're discouraged by this. I'm actually encouraged by this. You know, go play in the minors. Go see the world. Go see Binghamton. Yeah, come on. What's wrong?
That you would think of things from an owner's perspective, and I would think of things from a player's perspective. Because once that Mr. Piazza is identified and 380 dudes have to go home, what are they going to do? You know what happens, Tony, in terms of evolution? In terms of evolution and the survival, those kids go in and say, you know what? The G League is offering more money. The G League would make me Howard Hughes compared to what Major League Baseball is going to do by giving me 20 grand. I can go to the G League and I can, you know, buy a Rolls Royce in a year or two compared to what baseball's doing for me. I ain't looking at this from the owner's perspective. Sorry. No, not optimistic at all.
So this is wonderful. This is wonderful. The notion that you think that whoever is watching us thinks that you are a man of the people and a man of the players and not
man
on the owner's
people.
Side. When you haven't you haven't been beyond row 3 in an airplane in the last 30 years. But go ahead. Keep that fantasy rolling. I like it.
You know what, Tone? Because I didn't take the $20,000 offer. Because in 1980, when I got out of school, that would have been $4,000, not $20,000. My God.
Oh,
I've been back to row 5 a time or two. I just want to tell you. Row 5 on American Airlines.
Sure.
Time or two. Atlanta Hawks general manager Travis Schlenk says the NBA schedule for next season could be condensed, Tone, to keep the NBA as close as possible to its traditional schedule, even though the start of the season will be delayed until at least December 1. This would mean, at the very least, more back-to-back games, although they say there are no 4 games in 5 nights. Tone, would the NBA be right or be smart to try and play the same number of games in many fewer days next season?
So here's the problem with that. Not only is it back-to-backs, it'll be 3 games in 4 nights. Maybe not 4 and 5, but 3
right.
and 4. And you're
right.
going to have load management. There is no other sport that is affected in the same way as basketball because the best basketball players have to play the most minutes. That's not true in baseball. It's not true. It's just not true. Okay, so when you have load management, your stars appear less frequently. That's a bad thing. I would keep everything the same. I would shrink the playoffs, Mike. I'd shrink the first round of the playoffs, maybe even the second, to 3 out of 5. I would have them play it in 8 to 10 days instead of 16 to 18 days. And that's where I think I make it up. And that gets me out before the Olympics, because the last thing on earth you want is to be up against the Olympics. Doesn't matter what sport you are. You do not want to be up against the Olympics. The Olympics is a ratings animal, so you don't want that.
Well, you can't. It's not about being up against the Olympics. You can't compete while you're in the Olympics because the NBA has 108, last I counted, international players. And many of those guys feel obligated to their home countries to represent them in the Olympics. So, no, you can't. Now, you could do what the NHL does or has done, and I'm sure it's a little different, but you could skip that period. You could just take the 3 weeks during the basketball tournament of the Olympics off and come back afterward, Tony. But you're right. You load management would kill that season, Tone. It would kill that season. Not only that, I know there's been great harmony between on the basketball side of life between players and owners and the whole labor negotiation situation relative to baseball and even football. But, Tone, I think there would be some pushback from players if you decided to condense the season that much. You need to get rid of some games, which I don't think the owners will do. But if you skip the Olympics and you just don't play during about a four-week period, you could resume on the other side.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's on the table.
NHL's done
it. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, the person who I feel the worst for is LeBron James, because this would not afford him that one lovely week that he takes off in the middle of the year. And if there is an All-Star game, I would hope you don't get a 7-day vacation if you're trying to condense everything else. I don't know how it's going to work, but I would shrink the playoffs. Just the first round anyway. So
load management.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social Security? Is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag. Done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Let's go to the happies if we can. Happy 69th birthday, Dan Fouts. The greatest passer in the history of the Chargers, whether they play in San Diego, Los Angeles, or Honolulu. Some will argue that Fouts is among the greatest pure passers ever. He's in the Hall of Fame despite never winning the Super Bowl, never even getting there. Dan Fouts put the air in Air Coryell, the offense named after Chargers coach Don Coryell, who never met a deep route he didn't like. Fouts went to 6 Pro Bowls and was the Pro Football Writers League MVP in 1982. You know, Wilbon, the Chargers' history is so interesting. It is replete with big passers like John Hadle, Dan Fouts, and Phillip Rivers, throwing to Hall of Fame receivers like Lance Allworth, Kellen Winslow, Charlie Joyner, Antonio Gates, and none of them ever won a title. Fouts had been broadcasting football games since he retired as an active player. And you know what I wonder? How does he feel when he sees the Chargers playing in L.A.?
Oh, I know. Well, you know, he knows. He's old enough to know that the Chargers once played in L.A. as sort of the beginning. If you're Phillip Rivers, you really should identify with Dan Fouts for a lot of reasons, including he's still got a chance to get to the Super Bowl. And I know he's not there anymore, but Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Fame quarterback. Is he not? Don't we think of him as a Hall of Fame quarterback, even though, like Fouts, he hasn't been to a Super Bowl?
No, I think he would be a Hall of Fame. Happy anniversary, Pelé. On this day, 45 years ago, the great Brazilian soccer god signed with the New York Cosmos in what was then called the North American Soccer League. Pelé came to the United States, and specifically to New York City, to make soccer a real big deal. Obviously, we're all still waiting for that to happen. The Cosmos also signed European stars Franz Beckenbauer and Giorgio Canalia, and they drew huge crowds to the Meadowlands. I know that. But soccer never caught on the way people predicted. I remember going to Cosmos games as a reporter and seeing people like Mick Jagger in the locker room, chatting it up with Pelé. I remember when Pelé retired and he stood in front of a microphone and said, love, love, love. People adored him. They wanted to see him, but he couldn't make the magic happen for the rest of the league. It's the same problem the MLS has. We've never quite taken soccer to our hearts, and we have never grown a player like Pelé.
I think people may be taking it to their hearts more than you want to admit, but I'll just say this. As a Cub reporter at the Washington Post, when I was an intern and the next summer I went to the Meadowlands. And while Pelé wasn't there anymore, at least I don't think he was, I saw Quintanilla play against Johan Cruyff. These games were attended by, hello, 70,000 plus people, Tony. And you know they filled RFK in the return match at 54,000, packed the gills, as they used to say. It was so exciting, those Cosmos Diplomats matches. And I look, we got, you know, MLS coming back now. I mean, you know, I know you'll be all over that start date. I think it's July 8th, sure. Something like that.
Yeah. No, I'll be there. I'm going to throw out the first ball.
I know you would.
That's what you do.
Huh?
That's,
I know you would.
Pretty much my job. Quintanilla, after games, met the press, always wearing a bathrobe.
Wasn't he smoking a cigarette?
Bathrobe.
He was in a bathrobe and with a cigarette. Unbelievable.
Quintanilla was great. Happy trails to Reggie Bush's disassociation with USC. The University of Southern California officially welcomed back Reggie Bush today, following his 10-year NCAA-mandated disassociation from the school after an investigation determined that Bush and his family members accepted cash, travel expenses, and a home where they lived rent-free. As part of the penalty, USC went on probation, lost 30 scholarships, and had to give back the 2004 national championship. And Bush had to give back the Heisman Trophy he won in 2005. Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart were great college football players. They led USC to the 2004 title, lost in the last minute to Vince Young in Texas in the 2005 game. For 10 years, Bush has not been welcomed on USC's campus or been involved with the Trojan program, which, by the way, has cratered. 4 athletic directors and 4 head coaches in that time. As talk proliferates about athletes making money off their name and likeness, Bush's crimes seem to belong to a bygone era. With USC welcoming him back, maybe the Heisman The Heisman Trust, which has the trophy, Mike, maybe they'll give it back to Reggie Bush.
Maybe. It makes me realize how loathsome and cheesy the NCAA can be and has been. And by disassociate yourself. I mean, seriously? This is why the NBA is going to be out of business. They're just going to hang a big sign up. Out of business, because that's what they're going to be soon enough, and it'll be welcome to some of us. And with that, Tony, you and I can welcome back Reggie Bush.